The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. With me, as always, is producer Dodd.
That was a brilliant intro.
Thanks.
Hey, guys. I feel like we have to start off with an apology after claiming we were going to be consistent last week.
We promised consistency and we failed at the
first hurdle. And we have been consistently poor.
This is episode number 37 and we are very happy to have you with us. We did promise you consistency and we've let you down. We were meant to do two podcasts this week. We've only managed to do one. That is because we've had a crazy week.
As ever. It's Friday today. We're recording it in the morning, then we'll edit it in the afternoon, so you should get it.
Efficiency from producer Dodds
for driving. Yeah. I like this. It's just not Dodds, it's producer Dodds.
Well, because you're being so efficient.
MD Katie Leeson. But yeah, we did a busy but an interesting week because we were doing something different, weren't we?
We were.
Which is what our excuse for not doing the podcast.
Yes. We've done a few different things this week, actually. But a lot of planning, a lot of sorting. And then Dodds produced a brilliant presentation that he presented to a group of female athletes about personal branding, which we're going to be sharing with you in next week's episode. So look out for that. So that's why
I'm scared to make any promises now.
No. So that's why we're only one episode this week instead of two. So we apologise, but we hope that this one episode is going to be good enough to keep you with us. Next week when we go back to our consistent two messages a week.
See? Like we've lost it, we've got lost rusty. But
feel free to go.
It was like a workshop about why you should do personal branding, stuff that we'd learned by doing Katie's. It wasn't just my presentation, we both chipped in. But we did whether you should start a personal brand, how if you're gonna start from day one and try and get results, what would you do? That kind of thing. So I think lots of
value
for people of this podcast. Yes. Even though it was for female athletes, I guess it all relates.
Yes. So a bit of an update from what else we've been doing. We did a video, part of the podcast we talked about Starbucks and Game of Thrones and the fact that we felt like Starbucks didn't capitalize on the Game of Thrones gaffe as much as they should have done with their showing a bit of personality and how they responded to it, and they didn't do that. That went out on LinkedIn. It went crazy. How many views are we on now?
Just 490,000. So nearly at half a million.
Nearly half a million views of my face.
Half a milli party.
That's crazy. Nearly half a million views.
Of your face.
Of my face.
Of your opinion.
Of my opinion. Talking about...
I think it's done so well because it's got like a lot of shares, much more than usual. Because I guess
over
it's something that's
shares, hasn't it?
Yeah. Did you see that they've made another mistake where there's like an Evian water bottle? Was it in the
yes,
was in
behind
shot as well?
Someone's foot. I did see that.
So that only helped our views, I think.
But Game of Thrones is finished now, so I don't think we can.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't watch it, but I get the sense that people aren't happy.
Yeah, but I think that would have always have happened. I think when anything finishes, people are a little...
Not really. Did you watch Breaking Bad?
No.
Brilliant. Did you watch Gavin and Stacey?
Yeah, love Gavin and Stacey.
That ended brilliantly. Even I can't remember it was quite complex.
One of my favourite TV scenes, that when they do American Boy.
Oh yeah, that's brilliant.
Look, did you see his Heath Brook?
His comic relief stuff was the funniest.
Who, James Corden?
Yeah.
I saw, did you see this week that he opened up a live Q&A and he just got absolutely abused?
James Corden?
Yeah.
By who? You?
No, I really like him. I think he's hilarious.
Ask Me Anything backfires as fans brand him rude and an... Are we allowed to swear on this? An a-hole. Wow.
So he tried to make himself a little bit more accessible and it completely backfires on Reddit.
It's a bit of a dangerous place to put yourself in.
I know, but I think he's hilarious. He cracks me up. I can't, like, just looking at him makes me laugh.
I always think it's funny. I imagine that any American that knows him from his show would then go back and watch his, like, earlier work of, like, Gavin and Stacey. And just be like, what on earth is this?
So this happened on May the 20th and... The things that people were saying is like, how have you managed to make it this far? I'll be honest, I'm not a fan. Why are you such a deeply unpleasant person? Did your parents raise you that way? It's harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
So harsh.
Snowboarding something so big.
It's had 900 comments and they only got through 3 questions before they bailed on it. So obviously it didn't go as planned. And I think that's partly because few days prior to that, or like the month prior to that, he was accused of going to a Writers Guild of America meeting to try, and it was accused that he was there to try and get staff writers at lower wages. And someone tweeted about it, James replied, but it's how people perceive him then, I think. And I think the key there is to understand how you are perceived in the general public before you put yourself out there to criticism. What James has said about that meeting is that he was there to try and give talented people a better opportunity. So he was there trying to promote talent of writers for his show, whereas someone's taken it as in they was trying to exploit people. And then that has then led to this negativity in terms of his brand perception.
That's the madness of it, isn't it? It only takes one person applied. He said no, and then that guy tweets in anger. Oh, he's just exploiting people. That then blows up. The Daily Mail pick it up. They do a story on it. Then he does this Q&A where he's like trying to win people back, and it just goes full savage. Yeah.
Poor. I feel bad for him because I don't think he would do that, but that's we don't know him.
There's two scenarios.
There is two scenarios, but yeah, the power of one tweet and what that can do to your personal brand.
So what would you have done?
I think to go to Reddit and use Reddit, which is quite a scathing, people aren't backwards in coming forwards on their opinion on Reddit forums, so that in itself is a risky move, especially if you've had a bit of a negative backlash in the weeks previous. So I maybe would have addressed it before opening yourself up to the public.
Push this Ask Me Anything back a month potentially, and then just let it all die down a little.
Pause it. No one probably knew that he was going to do it anyway. I don't know what the purpose of it was. Maybe just hold off and then do it another time. The news of the week, I'm sure you'll have all heard of this, but Jeremy Kyle has been taken off air. It was a very high earner for ITV in terms of advertising and sponsorship. But what we want to discuss is the impact that the sponsor of that show, which was The Sun Bingo, what does that do for the brand when the TV show comes into disrepute? We've seen it before. I've seen it before when the likes of Iceland have had Kerry Katona as their main sponsor, who then hits the headlines for negative reasons. What is the impact of that on the brand that decide that that's the right person or the right TV show to sponsor? In the current climate, with reality TV shows becoming more under the spotlight for how they look after their guests and participants, brands should really consider their sponsorship opportunities carefully rather than be part of facilitating something that could... It's a bigger thing when someone's mental health is brought into the spotlight, I think. And how do you want your brand to be associated with it? So Love Island is back, starts again next week. The sponsors of that need to be mindful of the backlash that the show is facing, especially seeing as Jeremy Kyle has been taken off air for one participant committing suicide after appearing on the show. Two people from Love Island have committed suicide, and there has been a massive call for the show to provide more in terms of after-show care. And with that being such a heightened topic, if I was a brand, I'd want to be really mindful of that and make sure that I'm doing everything I can to be part of the conversation in the right way. Also, we've seen the in across the pond, but also Universal, James Charles saga, with the fact that he promoted a sleeping tablet for someone who gave him security at Coachella, and his mentor stroke mum figure then went back and completely ripped him apart because it was a competitor to something that she's worked with or owns. The back and forth of that is still rumbling on, fair to say. But the impact of it was that James, who's 19, he's only 19, he's only young. He lost millions of subscribers. I think it was like 3 million in 2 days, which is incredible. And this lady got 2 million subscribers. So she gained and he lost. And then they've both been sort of hitting back out at each other about their personalities. I think brands are obviously using those people because they've got a hell of a lot of followers. But their behaviour, God, you'd take it offline, wouldn't you? If you were that close to someone, you'd just take it offline and have a conversation. Which is a lesson for influencers as well, really. Like, what do you want to be known for? And you've got to really think about the impact that your actions have on your future brand commitments.
What is it? It's like doing without thinking. You've got James Corden there doing and without thinking. Like, obviously there's going to be a backlash if you go on Reddit of all places.
Yeah.
Then you've got Jeremy Kyle doing without thinking. They shouldn't, because they use like loads of different weird techniques to like rile people up, and they sell it to them as like a holiday. You can come like doing again then without thinking about what the repercussions of. They're making good entertainment, but they're not thinking of the thing. And then him promoting that sleeping tablet for the sake of some security has cost him a relationship with that really important figure and millions of subs, and also his brand's now like a bit trash.
Yeah.
Even if he's not a predator, it's the same as James Corden. He'll just be known as
predator. So the impact on his brand now.
Doing without thinking. And then I guess that's also sponsors. If you're sponsoring them without thinking about what that really looks like.
Yeah.
Just because just because James Charles is the most popular thing, and just because Love Island's a popular thing, sponsoring it might not actually be that good for brands.
Good for brand.
There's definitely different and probably better ways that you could reach that amount of people.
Yeah, especially as we know that the our generation and younger generations are looking for brands with real social purpose. Being associated with something that then doesn't have that social purpose or is controversial, be that a celebrity or a program, is an interesting move.
So what have we learned? Think.
Think before you act.
Think about it.
As my mum always used to say, think before you speak. In last week's episode, we discussed AR and the rise in technology and how it's on the rise, and also how you can capitalise on it. Since then, we have seen an explosion in Snapchat filter usage because the gender swap filter came out. Don't know if you tried it, Dodds?
Yeah, of course. And I'm not saying that we're always right, but I am saying that we're right often. That's all I'm saying.
We're right
often.
I mean,
I will say no more than that.
We've seen it everywhere. I'm sure you've tried it out. I look horrendous as a man. Thank God I'm not a man. So it's been used to effect. So this week, everyone's talking about how brands need to take it seriously. We were there last week. People should be using technologies that everyone else is sharing. So brands need to jump on it quick before you get left behind. We talked about it and that curve, the hype curve. We are on it now, timely based on our conversations last week. Even if you can't afford to make your own, make sure you're using the ones available and using it to your advantage to make sure you're part of the conversation. As we always say, loads and loads of brands and influencers have been using this filter this week, and Snapchat usage has actually increased because of the filter. I haven't used Snapchat for a while, and it's the first time I've been back on it, and I've heard quite a few people say that. So as a brand, it's important to be using the language that everyone else is using on social, and filters are definitely that. We've seen that with this filter and the way that it's gone viral. So don't think that you are above it. It's the same as memes. Memes are the like language of social media. Filters are also the same thing. You can get on board. It doesn't cost the earth to do it, and it can be really effective, and you can jump on it while everyone else is trying to as well. So it's great timing for filters and AR, which is something we discussed last week. If you are a new brand or you can't really get the technology together, you can use the filters that are available to you. Snapchat can actually let you make your own now as well. So just have a play around with it. I think if you can get it right, look what benefit you can get from it, like this gender filter. It's gone absolutely mental. And it's been a benefit to Snapchat as well. So look at that. Make sure you don't discount it. AR is going to be big. With the increased usage of Snapchat and people downloading it again and people opening it up again, the platforms are definitely going to capitalize on this, and they're only going to use it more. So make sure you are thinking about AR, because if they can see the benefit from it, they're obviously going to try new things to try and keep that momentum going. For brands, I think we had to think about which brands could have used this to their advantage. One that really sprung to mind was River Island. Last year, they did a campaign for gender neutral clothing. They could have really capitalized on this filter by using their unisex range to showcase how different genders could wear their products. So there's different ways you can be very smart with these filters. If you can see something trending, think about how you can use it in the right way. But I think this is the start of something quite exciting in our world, so keep an eye out for that. Now it is time for our admission submission, one of our favourite things of the week.
And do you want to explain what that is for any new listeners?
Oh, yeah. So in our admission submissions are where you, the wonderful listeners, send in your questions to my website, and then we work through them and then we answer them on each episode. So the website is www.katieleeson.com. And you can leave your admission submission there. We are working through them now because we've got a bit of a backlog, obviously.
It's all totally anonymous as well.
It is. Did you say that? I always forget to say that. It's totally anonymous, so we don't know who you are. So you can ask us anything. So the topics that we've had are anything from should I quit my job to I fancy someone in work to today's one, which is all about ads.
Do you remember the fat shaming one?
Oh,
that was my personal favourite one, because it was the most vulnerable I think somebody had felt. But they really go from personal to professional and pretty much everything in between, don't
they?
Family problems. Boss problems.
They do. So you can send in, we don't know who you are, but we'll try and help you.
I really like that. Like, we don't know who you are and it doesn't really matter, we're just here.
We're just here to help.
I feel like there's probably a tagline or something.
Yeah, probably. This week's one is, I shouldn't say this, but ads suck. Hi, Katie. I'm 24. I'm working in a marketing agency in Liverpool, which makes it worse for me to say that ads online drive me mad. I get served all kinds of ads I've never been interested in. For an example, UFC clothing or things that to do with football. I don't mind ads. I just don't like ads that I'm not interested in. When will people get better at targeting? Interesting, actually, because in the
relatable.
And relatable, because in the news this week, complaints about online ads now outnumber TV complaints by 3-1, say the ASA, which is the Advertising Standards Authority. I think this is all down to poor targeting. So I have been served over the years ads that are completely irrelevant to me based on my gender and my age. So at one point I was getting served a load of ads for pregnancy tests because I was late 20s, early 30s and a woman. And that is just, I think, one, it's like rubbing salt into the wounds if you're not in that place. And two, it's just, you just get frustrated. Now, I think we'd all agree that if we were served ads that were actually relatable to what we enjoy and targeted properly, then we wouldn't mind them being there. I was talking to Theo, our copywriter at Social Chain, last week about this very topic, and he was saying that he's really enjoying the ads that he's getting at the moment on Instagram because they're all T-shirt related, which is something that he absolutely loves. So for him, it's like adding to the experience. But if a brand is then using poor targeting or lazy targeting to try and target people based on gender or age, you're only going to irritate people. So you've really got to think about who you are speaking to, why, and do it properly. Just give a bit more thought to it. The beauty of digital and digital marketing means that you can be super targeted in your ads messages. You can go so niche with who you're speaking to. So you can look at, say, females aged 25 to 30 who live in Manchester, who are interested in clothing, who've been on your website, who like a certain range. So I've seen that H&M have started a Stranger Things range. So they could go down who's watched Stranger Things or who has looked at certain content about Stranger Things or similar types of programs, and make sure that the targeting is spot on. And then you know that you're going to add to someone's user experience rather than just irritate someone by targeting females aged, like, I don't know.
Men and women between the ages of 18 and 20.
Yeah. 18 to 30-year-old adults blanket target. Because you're going to get wastage then. The more targeted, the better. And the more relevant and the better it'll seem fitting with your brand and the better the user experience, which means irritation and annoyance with adverts is less likely to happen. The next area we want to discuss is something that I think is very exciting is at Social Chain, we like to keep brands at the forefront of what's possible. That is the reason why we exist. And one of those areas is WhatsApp as a form of communication for brands and a way of engaging a group of people in a way that's not really been done before. It's the future in terms of being able to have a group of people all in one place receive a message in a platform that is more used than any other social platform and is growing increasingly. And it's a perfect example of being in the right place and understanding people's consumer behaviour and how they are communicating with their friends and how to interact and embed yourselves in people's lives. WhatsApp, there aren't many brands using it, and if you can jump on board quickly, like we say with everything, you can get first mover advantage. So there are a couple of ways to use WhatsApp. You can create your own broadcast list as a brand, which we have done for a couple of our clients. That gives you a really good group of people who you know are signing up. Obviously, we do it here. So if anyone signed up to our WhatsApp broadcast list where you get social media news every day, you can see the benefit of it. You get through news that's happening every day on social and links to read more. Our click-through rates on that are incredibly high. What we've used that for is instead of sending email marketing, which is in decline, people like email marketing has become so cluttered with GDPR as well. It's made it a really tricky market to navigate and people don't really use it in the same way anymore. What we can see is that we get average on average, open rates are about 80% on WhatsApp versus 20% across email, which is a huge difference. And there's click-through rates of about 20 to 30%. We've done it for a brand, and when they have actually put product into the WhatsApp broadcast list, click-through rates have been all the way up to 40 to 50%, which is incredible. When you compare it to email marketing, is about 2 to 3%. So the opportunity with WhatsApp to engage audiences in a communication platform is just so big and very exciting. Email is continuing to decline. The average person has got between 3 to 4 email addresses, so it makes it really difficult to make sure you've got the right email and you're reaching the right people. Whereas with WhatsApp, you know, people are using it to speak to their family and friends every day. There are two ways to use it, as I say. So you can create a broadcast list as a brand, send out relevant information on your products, on your purpose. You can keep people up to date, or you can use, we've got them here for our media pages. So say Student Problems has got over 10,000 people signed up to the broadcast list. You as a brand can sponsor that list and get your message across to all those people in a student space. We have had brands come to us wanting to sponsor our own social chain WhatsApp broadcast list because they understand the value of the people who've signed up to it. So what we're noticing is the value in being in this not very cluttered market versus advertising on social where there's everybody on there. You can be sat next to the biggest brands in the world, can be sat next to the latest pop-up round the corner because it's so easy to create ads. Having the attention on WhatsApp because you get your message through, it's only your message, you're not being bombarded by everyone else. In that moment, being read with such high click-through rates is a real benefit for brands, and it's a real way of creating a personality and a relationship with your audience.
And you can reply to people, can't you?
You can also reply to people on there, so people can ask questions about products and services and you can reply back really quickly. You can categorize it, you can go back with polls, you can go back with quizzes, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. So there's a really cool one that we've seen in America that is a burrito shop who sends out a WhatsApp and the first 10 people to reply get a free burrito, which also gamifies it. So there's loads of different ways of using WhatsApp to create a really engaged audience and make it really fun as well. So we've used influencers to try and help push sign-ups to WhatsApp, which is the first time that's ever been done. And it's just, again, it's thinking about different ways to use people that the audiences trust to drive engagement onto a new platform and communication channel. So there's loads of different ways to use WhatsApp and loads of different ways to push people into signing up to your WhatsApp as well. I think that's a really important thing is you can create a WhatsApp, but how do you get people to sign up? So it's really thinking about your campaign around your WhatsApp broadcast list. How do you get people to sign up? What are you going to say when they get there? And how are you going to keep people there? Finally, for this week is our reviews and shout outs readout. So these are my favourite reviews of the week. Thank you so much for those. If you want a shout out, then please go to Apple and leave us a little review.
If you're on Spotify, then drop us an email on the website and we'll read it from there. Yeah, we'll give you the shout out as well.
First one we're going to read out now is title is Relatable and Valuable by Dan Reddish. I found the podcast to be of great value as it addressed the subjects that were personally relatable. As an introvert and someone who struggles when meeting new people, it's reassuring to know that someone in Katie's position has similar self-admissions. Her advice in regards to approaching people at networking events was also great value to me. I plan to listen to the rest of the podcast over the next few days. Oh, thanks, Dan. Well, I hope you have now caught up and you enjoyed every single one of them. The other one that I want to read out is Maybe You Should Say This by Elle Mackers. Great podcast, taking in a range of topics but providing an outlet that challenges the norm in I Shouldn't Say This pieces in which we might all just agree, or at least I have found myself agreeing to several so far. Katie is very open and honest, and it works in her favour to capture the audience.
Transparency.
Transparency is key.
And we're going to talk about that. That's actually a nice one to leave on, because we're going to talk about that in next week's podcast.
Next week's podcast is going to be all about transparency, so that is a great segue.
Should we just put a pin in it there then?
Yep. Say I want to no say more. Thank you very much again for listening, and we will be back with 2 episodes next week, and we will see you then. Have a lovely weekend.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Have a lovely weekend, everyone.